Time being shortly thereafter, 6 o'clock, I'll call the January 6th meeting of the Police Station Building Committee to order. All citizens are welcome to attend public meetings in person. To view the live meeting remotely, citizens are encouraged to watch the live stream on the Franklin Town Hall TV YouTube channel or the live broadcast on Comcast Channel 9 and Verizon Channel 29. To listen to the meeting remotely, citizens may call in using the number 929-205-6099. To participate in the meeting remotely, citizens may join a Zoom webinar using the information that I'll give you in a second. Meetings are recorded and archived by Franklin TV on the Franklin Town Hall TV YouTube channel and shown on repeat on Comcast Channel 9 and Verizon Channel 29. The Zoom webinar details, the Zoom ID is 814-5465-8685, and then you need to hit the pound sign. Once again, the Zoom ID is 814-5465-8685, pound. Any participants who wish to speak during the webinar must enter their full name and email address when joining the webinar. All participants will be automatically muted upon joining the webinar. In order to speak, participants will need to select the raise hand function to request to be unmuted. All speakers will be required to state their full name and street address before commenting. Okay, we'll move right into the agenda. First item on the agenda is approval of minutes from the August 27th, 2025 meeting. I'd entertain a motion to approve.
So moved. Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion, additions, deletions. Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, next item on the agenda is discussion item. Review of the open houses. Chief Lynch.
Yeah, so we ended up publicizing and had three open houses Saturday, September 13th from 1 to 4, Tuesday, September 23rd from 6 to 9 p.m., and Sunday, October 5th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. We had hoped that we would get more attendance after you took out the individuals that were there from the station to help with the tour, some of the members of this committee that showed up. We had about 3 to 6 people for each one. For those that were there, it was, you know, we went through the whole thing, just as if we had 20 to 30 different people there, gave them the full tour, answered any of their questions. Some of them were really good, and I think in the end, you know, came away with everybody was like, yeah, you are definitely jammed in here. You know, 10,000 square feet is just not big enough for what we have right now for personnel, equipment, you know, things like that. And I think they all came away with like, yeah, you definitely, you know, need a bigger facility. I will say that we also ended up, I want to thank the Downtown Partnership for allowing us to have a booth at the Harvest Festival, which was on September 27th, and we were there from beginning to end. Many of the members from KVA and CHA, as long as individuals from my staff, shout out to Officer Paul Marino, he basically did the entire setup before we got there. But that was great, and there was a lot of information given during that, a lot of discussions with people. So for what we lacked at the open houses, we did, you know, it was really good at the Harvest Festival. Hit a lot of people up, gave out a lot of information, pushed them towards the Police Station Building website, and, you know, with all the things that Steve had done, as far as the videos and all that, we're all up there and all that. So if you weren't able to go, and you can still go onto the website if you haven't had a chance, and you can go through the videos that basically do an entire tour of the station with a voiceover, it was truly explaining some of the obstacles and different deficiencies, you know, that we currently have. That is it, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, TJ. And I think it's important to emphasize that the tour that was given to those folks that did decide to come is a virtual tour that is on the website, as the chief said, and anybody can go. And I just reach out to our residents and say, please, take the time to go to the website, take the virtual tour, and see the issues that our police department is facing with the space that we are working out of. Jamie, anything to add?
No, I just think website's up. I think they're gonna talk about it in a few minutes. And the virtual tour is there. I think all these materials are there, and I think the project team's gonna go through that in a minute.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Any other questions? Any questions of the chief? Okay, Joe, just introduce the group sitting before us.
Thank you. I am Joe Lynch with CHA. I'm the owner's project manager, working with Chief Lynch and the team here.
Sean Schmiegel, KBA project manager.
Eric Royce, KBA landscape architect, planner.
Todd Costa from KBA. I'm the principal that's in charge of the public safety sector of our company.
Welcome.
Good evening and Happy New Year, everyone. Thank you for having us. Appreciate it. Interestingly enough, the first note I had was for the website. So franklinmapoliceproject.com, for anyone who doesn't have it, as everyone just said, holds a great deal of facts and information about the challenges and the deficiencies the chief and the staff have been working through of late, especially as the town and the forces continue to grow, as well as videos of both the inside and the exterior, showing not only what we're up against inside the building, but around the overall site as well. So once again, franklinmapoliceproject.com for anyone who's interested. I'll start off just by saying Franklin continues to be one of the safest communities in the country. I continue to say this, but it really is a testament to Chief Lynch and his staff. Unfortunately, the existing station no longer meets the modern demands of what a police station needs. We'll get more into the details and the numbers and all that as to how we establish that fact, as well as what we believe the police station needs in order to operate safely and provide the community with what they need. I won't go through everything we've discussed in the last few meetings, just a little background. The existing station was built in 1991. The staff was less than half of what it is now. Since then, in the 34, 35 years, there's been no upgrades, no expansions. Part of that reason is because you can't with that building. But what that has resulted in is the team's working in about a quarter of the space they should be compared to other modern facilities around the area. A new station would provide adequate sized workspaces, sufficient storage, which again, go to the website, you'll see is very much needed, enhanced security, and maybe just as important, more parking. Go around the police station right now, you see cars everywhere around there. I think they're doing a fantastic job of keeping it as controlled and organized as possible, but there aren't many inches, never mind feet, to be had in that space right now. So tonight we look forward to sharing additional information on the site selection process, the parameters we put in place for that, our programming meeting with the police team and everyone really involved in order to just really understand what the community needs and what we need to put in place for them. I know it's been a while, but we really did appreciate all of your feedback during the last presentation, so we hope what we're going to present tonight addresses some of those questions and kind of gives a little more insight to all the work we've done and what we believe we need to do in order to get to the next steps. So with that said, I'll hand it over to KBA to open up and start the presentation.
Yeah, so again, it's going to be a quick summary of where we've been. I mean, a lot's going to be repetition from last time. So again, website was just discussed, it's up and running. Please go there and review anything that's there. There's also a question and answer section that if there's any questions that they can reach out to us and we can help answer anything from there. The building tours, dovetailing to what Chief was talking about, the existing building, you know, those tours have already occurred, but you know, we're ready and able to have any future building tours of projects that we have done. That's not on the calendar quite yet, but that's something that we're willing and able to do in the meantime of the upcoming months. But looking to Beverly, Leominster, and Needham Police Public Safety Buildings. As the Chief noted, the station, existing station open house has already occurred. So going into just our process of what has been completed, so our study. So as Joe noted, we had multiple in-person meetings with the chief, and then we, for about 2 to 3 months after that, we had bi-weekly meetings and just kind of reviewed and updated items, answering any questions the personnel had, and just had that dialogue open. So it was more of a culmination of all those questions and answering periods throughout that process. So looking at the current constraints, looked at all the future needs to have a modern facility for the police department. So there's questionnaires. Again, we had multiple meetings to discuss and review all that. Came up with, you know, specific square footages for each of those spaces, you know, from public spaces to semi-public spaces to private spaces, and then obviously the detention area and storage needs and storage facility needs. So from that, we pretty much, well, we came up with an overall building square footage of roughly 36,000 square feet. So as it was just noted, they're working out of 10,000 square feet. So clearly there is a need for more space. There's a need for an outbuilding for long-term storage, for some vehicle maintenance, for long-term vehicle storage, and so forth. So, you know, not only building storage within, but also building storage to the exterior of the site. And then an overall general parking need, not only for the staff, but roughly 92 spots. So that's during shift change, current patrol vehicles, other specialty vehicles that need to be stored on site, and then approximately 16 or so public parking spaces. So, and I drawn a blank what currently is there now, but I think 25 to 30 spots.
Yeah.
Give or take that. If that, on site. So,
do we count across the street?
So, but not across the street, so just on the premises. So clearly, yeah, you know, it's clear that there's a need for some growth. So not to get into the great detail here, but really what these upcoming images are showing is that the existing training room, meeting room, roll call, everything is it's a multi-purpose room, which they're doing the best they can, but typically in modern facilities, these are individual spaces throughout the whole building. So they're working as best as they can with the space that they have. So what we're just basically stating here is showing that there's more space, needs to be more space for multiple types of programming. So that was the training room, but again, divide them into individual spaces, specific for roll call, specific for storage and equipment checkout. Larger training rooms for not only the department, but potentially for the greater community to bring in the community into the station, as well as patrol division supply rooms and whatnot. So all of those were in that previous image. You know, as you saw, everything's being stored on top of each other. Similarly here, you know, a single office space is being not only duplicated a couple times for multiple different types of, you know, got patrol sergeants, there's a study room, so a little bit of supply storage, and so forth. So again, multiple spaces all incorporated into one at the current station. We typically, or we would recommend and need, multiple rooms to duplicate the space that they're currently using as. So again, just real quickly, just, you know, dedicated report prep room, report writing rooms, dedicated, you know, duty officer spaces, patrol officer space, not only shared but also private spaces, and then a more generous supply rooms. So really, what the current Franklin PD doesn't have, you know, there's not really any public safe room, for instance. So if someone's in need off hours, or after, you know, they have a safe room coming off the main lobby. Public interview room. So right now, any sort of interviewing that's taking place that's from the public sector is kind of being brought back to, you know, in the secured area, which is not ideal. Dedicated roll calls, storage areas. You know, there's no dedicated areas for canine program. You know, drones and, you know, are becoming more and more useful nowadays. So there's nothing dedicated spaces for those. You know, again, interview rooms, detention spaces are not only a little bit undersized, but also, you know, it doesn't meet today's standards. And then, you know, just decontamination from coming back from calls and whatnot. So, you know, there's not sufficient space for that currently. So going through that, so we understood, you know, need a larger space, larger building. So I'll pass it over to Eric and kind of walk through the matrix and the criteria we walked through for the site analysis and the site investigation throughout the town.
So part of what we did in the whole the report and the final master plan for where the station is going, we're giving you a recommendation of where we think it should go, on what property. So we started out that process with, I think, over 200 sites. The first meeting we had, we sat down with the town planner and some of the GIS folks with the town, and we went through those 200 sites. We weeded out anything that was under 4 acres, because 4 acres is really the size of the site that you need for your building and your parking and an extra building, extra maintenance building on the site. We weeded out sites that were underwater or wetlands or way out in the middle of boonies and the perimeter of town. So we went through all this process, and the reason we go through this process is because we're going to recommend a site, you're going to recommend a site, and people are going to come out of the woodwork and they're going to say, why did you choose that site? Why didn't you look at this site? So this really, what we've done really documents what we've looked at, why we've looked at it, and why we've excluded the sites we've excluded. So we, first of all, to look at the existing police department site, it's really, really constrained. As you can see here, it's mostly surrounded by wetlands. It's less than two, the buildable area is less than 2 acres. It's part of the high school site, which is a much larger site, but the actual buildable area of this site is under 2 acres. So really no room for expansion, no room, not adequate room for parking right now. You're parking across the street, you're parking at the park. It's not appropriate. So we started looking at other sites. If you look at, these are all the different various sites that we looked at to start with. Probably a little too much for this, but keep going. We continued weeding it out, going through the different sites. Once we start narrowing it down to sites that are the right size, we start looking at the details. We start looking at the grading. We start looking at who owns the site. Is it going to cost the town additional money to buy the site, or do you already own it? We were looking especially at a central location, because we didn't want to have a police station on the periphery of town. So these are all the things that we started looking at, weeding through them. We continue to weed through them and document which ones are good and which ones are bad and why. This is all part of the report. And we cut the list from basically 36 that you saw on the last site to 8 potential sites. So then we looked even further in detail, weeded through those. The big thing was ownership, who owned it. If the town didn't own it, was it available? If the town did own it, was it available? Was it being used for something else? So we looked at different things. There were some deemed college properties that we looked at. There were some private properties that we looked at that were undeveloped and were looking available. We looked at the recycling center. Some issues there. It's already being used as a recycling center. You'd have to move that use somewhere else. We looked at the town, and there were 2 sites for the town forest, and it was really felt that the town forest was not an appropriate place to recommend a police station. Good sites, buildable sites, but town forest. And then we looked at David, the 2 that came to the top of the cream of the crop were the Davis Thayer school site and the Parmenter school site. Parmenter school, the school moved out as of this season, so it's open, the property's open, and the building's open for reuse of some sort. Both these, Davis Thayer has been vacant for a while. Both these sites are available for the town to use. They're owned by the town. So we looked closely at both of those. This is kind of out of order, but when we were looking at the existing site, this the orange is a footprint of the proposed building, which would be a 3-story building, and then the gray is the parking that we would have to put on the site. So you can see right off the bat, it doesn't fit on this site at all. We looked at the Davis Thayer site. It's really, everything's packed in there. The site's 3.4 acres, which is under the 4 acres we'd like to see. It doesn't really allow any room for expansion of the building or parking. I do want to note, on the last meeting we were here, we stated there was 200 parking spaces on the site. That was a misstatement. There was a a lot number on the site that we mistook for the number of parking. This number of parking is very comparable to all the other sites that we looked at, which is a little over 100 sites.
108 or 110.
Between 108 and 111. This, I think this one has 111 the way it's shown right now. So I just wanted to clarify that, but we looked at this one, and because it's so boxed in, it's just under the recommended site size. It doesn't allow any room for expansion. We moved on to the Parmenter site. We looked at the Parmenter site first, trying to leave the existing building, and it's still up for debate whether what gets saved from the existing building, if we save all of it, if we save part of it. But we did a couple studies to show that, number one, if we wanted to put the police station on this Parmenter site, we can do it without taking down any of the existing building. We also showed it taking down a portion or wing of the building. It works either way. It's up to the town on what their master plan for that property really is. But we could get everything we need as far as the parking is concerned, an additional building, or additional maintenance kind of outbuilding, get the public parking in there. And it's a great location. It's right outside of the center of town. And it's an available property that's not going to cost the town any additional money. So we developed a few schemes on this one. We looked at it pretty closely. This is the scheme that shows for the Parmenter site that shows the wing of the building, existing building coming down. So you can see that this provides more of a park-like atmosphere for the station. It also allows a lot of room for expansion. You can see there's a lot of green area on here for expanding in the future if needed. And then just another configuration, taking over more of that play area and the playground, but saving the existing wing of the building. So we started looking at it a little closer. That's what these schemes are about. These are definitely not final schemes in any shape or the form, but they just show that it fits, it could work, and should we decide that this site is the one we want, it works well.
Right, thanks. So continuing on, so when we did this test fit on all these properties, we came up with a general floor plan for the building. You know, this is a three-story building, with a two-story with a basement, so three stories. So lower level, you know, not to get into great detail here, but everything in gray is building support. There's a fitness room down in the lower level. There's a simulation area, virtual simulation for training purposes, as well as a firing range in the basement. So this is more of the training, you know, subterranean, keeping everything below grade. But everything on the main level, the public zones, so everything in yellow is that public area, so the main training room in that lower right, main entrance, main lobby, you know, any public use areas to speak for records, any filing, any permitting that's needed off of the main lobby. And everything in green is the officer use for locker rooms, male and female locker rooms, which is more sufficient what they currently have for the current locker rooms, as well as some growth, you know, and for both male and female. And then just some general office spaces for the patrol, and then the darker purple area is the detention block, and the lighter purple is the dual sally port, double-sided. You know, which enhances the current operations. And everything on the upper level, more of the administration staff, so that orange area, so the chief's office, you know, conference rooms, and just more of the private administration office. And then upper portion is in the blue area is more of the detective suite. With, again, interview rooms, kind of an open work area. So again, so this provides some growth here as well. So with that, just some general type of imagery of the exterior, which is similar to what we've shown you before, but just, you know, simply in a residential zone, you know, kind of keeping it more of the New England style architecture, gabled roofs, double hung windows and so forth, you know, clapboard siding and working through that. Just another image along here on King Street, pretty basic. But again, this is just the first pass. Obviously, moving forward, it can have multiple different iterations. And then again, just from this side. So the lower right is that public training room, the main lobby, you know, double height space, and then the more private office spaces to the left. So from there, we worked with our estimators as well as our consultants just to review, you know, from the square footages, you know, any sort of site costs, some contingencies and some escalation costs with everything. So this is just a general construction. So this is just a hard construction costs, you know, new construction of the outbuilding, so site development costs, general contingencies, and then we escalate this just out to the just over a year from now, just, you know, so roughly, I forget the percentage exactly, but so depending on the schedule that this will all adjust, but between the general hard cost of construction plus not only design contingency plus the owner's contingency, just over $38 million for construction. Then we also looked into equipping costs. So this includes furniture, fixtures, equipment, some of the security, you know, cameras, CCTV, other technology, IT radios, upgrades, you know, through this, through once we get through the entire process. So there's a general budget for that. And then the indirect soft costs. So that's the architectural engineering fees, OPM fees, and then construction testing, peer reviews, and additional contingencies. So with all of that, you know, we have an anticipated project total budget of just under $48 million, you know, and, you know, we're confident, you know, if the schedule's maintained, you know, if we you know, that's where we would stay. But these next couple slides here, which we showed last time, but really just trying to show how costs of construction have increased, which is, you know, I'm sure all very familiar, you know, back from 2008 up until recent of 23, but there's just a gradual curve of construction costs over the last 20 years or 15 to 20 years. And then this is just a quick summary of recent or somewhat recent projects that we've been involved in, whether it's a combined police and fire station, police and or fire station. But really just the summary of the lower right-hand corner of the costs of construction per square foot from the last 3 years and what's anticipated for 2026 this year, roughly $1,300 a square foot. It does sound like a lot of money, but again, we're in Massachusetts, it's public procurement, and this is what we've seen and how costs of these types of projects have occurred over the last couple of years. And they do escalate in every year. So really what this slide is trying to say is, you know, if we wait, if the town of Franklin waits, it's not getting any cheaper.
No.
Which I know you're all well aware of that. But again, it's just really just, it continues to escalate over multiple years. So really with that, just a quick summary, you know, we were here just about a year ago when we started, you know, and with the engagement, open houses, meetings here, really just our recommendations are being provided and looking for, you know, future recommendations on how to move forward. But, you know, right now in the beginning of 26, as I noted, if this schedule keeps the same process, you know, it's about another year's worth of work to get to a developable type of document for construction. And with that, that's where we have, or where we end. Well, happy to answer any questions. You know, we do have a couple kind of master plan of the Parmenter site, you know, different scenarios that I could go through right now, unless you have some questions to review.
Any questions to this point?
I have one question. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You said it's going to take about a year total. So from when you start digging the hole, is that when you?
Sorry, a year of documentation. So drawings to get to digging a hole.
Okay,
so,
that's
so,
what, okay,
right.
That's
so
what I was trying to
complete understand. Complete the schematic designs through construction documents is roughly about a year.
And then
get all the permitting,
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, right. And all that.
And then once,
that's what I thought.
Sorry, then once construction begins, a project of this size, with the type of site development, it's easily an 18 to 20 month project. You know, but so from today to the end, we're looking at 3 years.
Three, that, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. You answered my question.
Jamie, what would your, I'm sorry, you all set?
I'm all set, thank you.
That process on, process through the council to the residents?
Well, that's going to be their decision to make.
Understood.
But I think, you know, you've done this a few times, but I think it's part of Kevin's presentation tomorrow night on facilities of like, what's the financing strategy here? Is there one? But obviously, as many of you know, or all of you in the room know, there's questions about, you know, the Davis Thayer parcel, the Parmenter parcel, the rec department. I mean, there's a lot to unpackage. I think this committee has brought it all the way as far as you can almost go without having the elected officials opine on something. It may not be tomorrow night. I doubt it'll be tomorrow night, but maybe it'll be later in April or May or June as the budget gets going. I'm hopeful by the end of summer, it's like there's either hold, pause, or here's the strategy with everything else. I mean, that's kind of, I think tomorrow night we'll get a good idea of where hopefully each of the members stand on some of these issues. But I think the building committee, Kevin and I were looking at the chart today. I think you've been doing these meetings for 2 years. You've gone and done the open houses. You've done, I think, all the work that a normal OPM and architect would do to this point. I think these gentlemen can't move any further without
some direction.
Without some direction from the financing folks. And then the only other thing I think I mentioned was there's a proposal that was put together for, I think, was it the code review at the Parmenter building?
Correct. So we put together a proposal to do a full analysis of the Parmenter school site, or the building. What types of code upgrades would be necessary for any type of facility, depending on the type of facilities that would occupy that building. We understand currently, obviously, the rec department's there, but, you know, it would be an analysis to review what types of upgrades would be necessary to make it a fully operating building.
And is that proposal, do you have that proposal?
Yeah. We've provided that, yes.
I think it's 63,000 and...
62,500.
So, you know, you guys could also recommend to the council to do that if y'all believe that that's the right site, and or if you want to keep the Parmenter building. That's not really in your charge, but because it's somewhat related, the council will have to appropriate the funds, but we're coming up on capital, so I think it's an option. If they want to do that, then we should do that contract and get them working on this so that by the summer they'll have that code review done, and at least by the time the summer comes, council will go, you guys might be able to make a more firm decision one way or another, depending on the budget stuff as well.
That was my reason for the question, so that we kind of have an idea as to what we need to do, what the next steps would be. I think it's important for us as a building committee to identify a site. We've been through this a long time. I think it's we're at a point where it's time to identify the site so that this can go back to the council, because I know the council, as part of Kevin's presentation, it's not leaving Davis Thayer out there lurching, the old rec department. At least it would give them the sense that, okay, the building committee's identified the Parmenter site. Now, what do we want to do with the other building? And again, that's a council decision. Mm-hmm. Has nothing to do with us. But in order to help them get to those decisions, I think it's important for us to identify the site of preference by this committee. So I know you said you had a couple of things that you did at Parmenter. Go ahead.
One question is, the part of the apartment that if you did take down, is that the gym,
That's the first wing that we showed.
That we would be the gym.
Yeah.
Yep.
And if, I'm just trying to think of how people would think, because if we're going to leave the rec department there, it would be kind of hard to take a gym out of there, you know, and, you know what I mean? That's all, I'm just trying to give you a little direction too.
And I think KBA's insight here will help to answer some of those questions, because we did look at it while the master plan isn't what we're hired to be working on, just looking out for the community. We said, what can we do here? And part of the reason we are recommending the Parmenter site is the flexibility and the options it provides you and what you're doing. All these buildings you have sitting around town right now, they're costing you a lot of money to sit there, right? If you do move out of the existing police station, that's another asset you have, whether that's sold to go towards this or put towards another use or another area within the town. So part of that code analysis and what Jamie said that KBA has proposed gets us a little more insight in there to what is there. I think we can kind of get into the pictures and stuff, but while we may be eliminating a gym, there is a lot of buildable area here. You could add outdoor courts, you could add additional fields, you could put another gym on the other side.
Okay.
There is a lot of flexibility there. Where that gym currently stands would just be in conflict with us adding the other facility where it is right now. So our intent wouldn't be to take away anything from any departments. If anything, it would be to find a way to reuse the space to make it more efficient for their use.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay, why don't you...
Yep, no, so we'll go through these pretty quickly. But this is just really a diagram of the existing property, you know, just to really show the lay of the land. The lighter green is pretty flat terrain, and then as it's the darker green occurs is where it slopes down to the bottom of the parcel. And then the blue area down here is the wetlands, and then this kind of greenish or lighter green area is those buildable setbacks. So really just kind of to show you that this property, yes, it's 20 acres. With keeping the Parmenter building on the site, there's still 5 acres of buildable land on this property. So with that said...
And just to add on a little bit of what Sean's saying, on this drawing, the darker green is all existing wooded area. That's all very mature forest. Most of what we've been using for developable areas, that's what's the lawn and the existing building, what's existing developed. But there is opportunity, there is some area in that forest on the lower right-hand corner, just behind the home plate of that softball field.
Yeah.
That area is also developable. So we've been including that area in most of these sketches. It's on the top of the slope, it's not, you're not falling off that slope yet. So it's a developable area we've been using.
So with that, we just reviewed a couple different options. So this one here is what we've been showing you, right? So keeping the entire school intact, developing up along King and Wachusett Street, keeping everything intact, really. So this is the least impactful the existing building as possible, and then obviously whatever upgrades, you know, so really bringing everything up to the corner of the property.
And the big things here that are going away are that softball field. You'd have to find a home for that if that's needed. And also there's a playground behind the school that would end up probably getting impacted also.
So the next option or scenario was kind of tagging on to that first gym wing, if you will. So this is the main entrance here now. That existing gym wing is right where these ball courts are.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's basketball, whether it's pickleball, whatever it may be. But just kind of just starting to show how the site could be developed if you start taking pieces of the Parmenter site building down. This shows how we can reestablish a softball field behind the secured parking of the police department, and the rest of the building would remain, whether it's for the existing or the current rec facility or something else. Going a little farther would be, keep removing that wing where the gymnasium is, but then creating some sort of field house or a larger gym that's more usable than the current more full size, not kind of the compact facility. You know, this could be programmed out, whether it has an elevated track, whether it has, you know, locker room, whatever it may be. But just to show that, you know, without a whole heck of a lot more development, you know, keeping the driveways where they are,
tacking it on to the cafeteria. You know, that might be a different program use, but again, just showing how some small development of the existing building could provide that field house or that gymnasium that is taken down.
Hey, bringing the field in is actually, I'm on the recreational committee too, so that's why you're hearing a lot of that. So that's it.
Also, if I could be short, this design allows, gives us more parking for maybe during the day if we're holding classes or training during the day when the kids are in school. It gives us more parking, if I'm seeing that correctly.
Yep.
That extra.
Yeah, so that we develop more parking out front.
You wouldn't have that whole drive lane in front of the school.
Mm-hmm. So it might give us a little bit more to use parking for training during the day.
And one of the reasons we are showing the gym down on that end of the building in the scheme is that the existing furnace room and all the mechanicals are on that end of the building,
yes,
of the school building. So hopefully we could piggyback off of that with whatever we build there.
How much parking are you showing down on that end next to the gym?
Down here is not very much.
It's like seven or eight spaces.
Seven or eight spots.
The majority of it would be
in front. In front, yeah.
Right. I mean, it could be developed into a larger lot.
Sure.
Down,
yeah.
I'm just thinking with the youth basketball,
sure,
brings it up. A lot of cars to the site, so.
That actually brought up my next question. So with all that other activity going on, we're going out onto King Street also, right? Is that the Sally Port, or all the cruises exiting onto the main road instead of going by
the school
and the kids?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so I want people to understand that too.
Exactly.
Because that keeps everything away from them and they can fly out of it.
Yeah, so the main exit for the patrol would be onto King Street, you know, this, which is right in this area here.
It's tucked away too.
It's kind of away from all the public traffic and circulation. The Sally Port is in this block back here. So the main entrance and the public is all focused along what you said. Two separate locations.
And just so you understand, the front parking in front of the existing school there is double loaded. Right now that's a bus drop-off, so there's no parking on one side and it's parallel parking on the other. So by going to this configuration and 90 degree parking, we gain a lot more spaces, but you're gonna lose a little bit of that kind of buffer lawn area in front of the school as that becomes parking. Probably not an issue because there's a lot of space there, but just so you know.
And Eric, both behind that field house is developable, so if you needed to add additional parking or you wanted to add more to the rec department or outdoor activities or anything like that.
It starts falling off pretty quick.
More stormwater money for the town.
but we could put like outdoor courts, maybe pickleball or basketball courts out there or something like that.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely, yeah. We looked at all of that, but again, we have the space here where we can show you unlimited amount of configurations and see what works best for not only the police department but for the community and other departments.
And the slope does start falling off back there, so that's going to factor into the cost of whatever we propose back there.
Eric, question for you. As I look at this, have we reviewed the sight lines for where that entrance is onto King Street, what the sight lines are on King Street, because there's a little bit of a hill there,
exactly.
And if the cruisers and so forth are going out, I want to make sure that they have sufficient sight lines in that direction.
Informally we have. I mean, we've gone out there and put an eyeball on it. That's about it. Going forward, to go, the next steps would be to get the actual traffic study done.
Chief, I'd like you to take a look at that.
Yeah, I mean, most likely we're going to have some kind of opticon system that's out there that basically we can, the cruisers would end up, they would basically, as they were coming out on the lights, they would automatically get it, and then it would turn red somewhere if they had to stop.
That was one of my other questions. Are you going to put something there so that you...
I think it would be the best.
We do on most new police stations, fire stations, we do like 90%+ of the time.
Okay.
But those are the next steps, right?
Yeah.
Those extra studies, which take time and whatnot. And then finally, which could be a recommendation, and just a little bit further of taking down majority of the Parliamentary School, which, you know, not necessarily is ideal, but just kind of to show them what could be done, just some more of those ball courts along, you know, that area, a large field house, you know, and then just a smaller rec area, parks and rec area. But again, you know, it just there's numerous amounts, you know, just a little bit of extra direction. You know, there's multiple different scenarios that could be developed or reviewed. So, but where we are at the end of our kind of study process, we just want to get the wheels in motion to let you understand a little bit more what could be out here.
Just so the people listening, and I know there's people frequently speak about the noise of pickleball. Pickleball could be in the back, too.
It could, yes.
I wouldn't want to see it right there across the street from the residence.
No, they're over there.
They're working in tight quarters inside right now, so they're maybe putting their lives on the line going in the direction of those walls. So
I don't disagree. Is there any more?
That's it.
No, that's it.
Okay. Any questions from Jamie?
Nope. All good.
Kevin?
It's all good.
All good.
I'm good. I like all good. All right. I guess, you know, we, as I said earlier, we've talked about this a lot. I think it's important for us to identify the site of choice of the building committee. So at this juncture, what I'd like to do is entertain a motion to choose Parmenter site, not any of which we've seen, but the site itself as what we believe is the best site for the new police station.
I'll make a motion. I believe the Parmenter School, after all the work that's been put in, is the best and pretty much the ultimate location for where it could, where the new police station, when it does eventually get built, should be built.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion on the motion.
Through you, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
I've come around to the Parmenter School. At first, you know, I wanted it at Davis Thayer.
I did too.
And I know, and look, you guys have made some strong, very valid points that have helped sway me towards this. And there's just so much more room for the, I mean, there's no one online right now, but people are gonna watch this later on. So they're gonna watch it, and there's just so much more room there. And even for the general public, all the extra things, you know, for the recreation, and it's really gonna make a big difference. That land is very valuable, and we can do a lot with it here. Davis Thayer, we can sell the new station, the old station, and just help funnel some of that money back, because in the end, we still have to get the residents to vote them for the debt exclusion. I don't know, right, debt exclusion. So I am very positive about this site right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Andrew?
Yeah, through the chair. I agree with, you know, Parmenter's got a lot of flexibility. You know, Parmenter's a 70-year-old building, I believe, Kevin?
1950.
Parmenter's a, you said seven.
70-year-old building.
70.
Right. Yeah, so it's been a long day, sorry. Yeah. 1954, I think, right? Or
thereabouts.
So, I mean,
the initial building, the original.
There's a lot of energy code changes. You know, if we do build, you know, it might be more challenging to reuse the building, just with the code triggers. You know, a lot of unknowns with construction, so something we need to think about as, you know, we lay this out. You know, we need to be strategic on where the police station goes for the future, you know, community. But I mean, this is eye-opening to see, you know, you've got a lot of different uses on that same site. So there's a lot of benefits for the police station, but also the whole community.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was kind of with Brian on the Davis Day, right? I just thought it was downtown. I thought it was centrally located. I thought that would be the place for it, you know. But, you know, talking to everybody, hearing from what you guys have come across with, you know, we're not losing a field. We're still going to have a field. You know, and the rec department loves being up in the department. I'll be honest with you. Ryan loves it up there. He just gets so much more done up there. We really do need a lot of room for the rec department. And if you put another gym down there, another basketball, it just makes it so much more functional for the town. And you said we still have 5 acres that we could build up. So, I mean, I think it's the place to go. And it did change my mind.
So. Thank you, Mr. Zalaco.
Yeah, the only thing I want to add is that, yeah, we've talked about all the benefits that we can get out of this for the police department. It's even more so with the fact that we're looking at the rec department being almost like a permanent thing. I mean, look what Ryan's able to do with the limited space he has now.
Right.
You know, we have one of the greatest rec department. I worked for the recreation from the time I was 13 until I was 25, you know, for both Brookline and Wellesley. That was my first career in the family. And I'm just amazed at what Ryan's able to do.
Absolutely.
Giving him an opportunity to even do more with something like this. The other thing is we're very insulated where we're at right now. We're a great neighbor, but all we have is wetlands and a sculpture park. And we want, one of the biggest things with the police station was having that inviting space for people to come in, you know, off the lobby and so forth, and having a community room that could be used. Now having people come to potentially end up visit the recreation as well, is going to put us in that thing where, you know, people know that we have that room, they can utilize it. There's definitely going to be more than enough parking for our ability to also use that room to run those trainings that are very, could be cost prohibitive, but when we end up offering a training for 40 to 50 people that gets us 6 free seats, we have the parking now to be able to do that. So there's a lot more benefits with more of a, you know, this enhanced potential capacity of what this
28 of possible. Thank you, Chief. Jim, anything to add?
The only thing I would add is I think the department is a great location for us as a police department, and it also leaves Davis there available. If the town does choose to sell it, it's a great location. It's right in the center of town, a more desirable property maybe down the road. When the department is a great location for us. It's center enough. We're right on King Street, quick to 495. So I think it's a great location.
If Davis Day was more than 4 acres, it would be an option. It's just, it's not an option. We don't want to, we're shoehorned in right now where we're at. We don't want that to happen again.
We don't want to go back.
I just would love to seize it. If the ability, if the department had to grow because the town continued to grow, their space does actually grow.
Yeah. Great.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Jim. Anybody else? Jamie, anything to add?
Oh, good. This is fantastic.
Okay.
I'm sorry, do you want to recommend the code review too?
Yeah. Should we do that as a separate?
Yeah, it's a separate thing.
All right, let's vote on the site first. Yeah. And
oh, right, you're in the middle of the site.
We're in the middle of discussion right now. So, seeing no further discussion, the vote will come on the motion to approve the Parmenter site for the next police station. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, now I think we should entertain a motion to approve or to recommend to the council to move forward with the, what do we have for a wording?
We call it the Parmenter School Code Review Study.
Okay, great, Kevin, thank you. For entertaining motion for the Parmenter School Code Review at a cost of
$62,500.
At a cost of $62,500.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion on the motion.
If I could, through the chair.
Sure.
I'm going to put my hat on as a fire protection engineer and code consultant. You know, I think we, if we spend that money, it's looking really for if we're going to preserve the building. And personally, I think it's throwing, you know, good money after bad. You know, I think there's a lot more value just rolling that money over personally. Because to be honest with you, building a rec facility building, field house building, you know, prefabricated metal building, we can put that up really, really cheap. It's not the $13,000 a square foot. It's something significantly less. You know, we can do high performance facades. There's a lot of other benefits. And then working in an existing building is could be extremely expensive, and we could see a lot of cost change, you know, change orders. So that's just my professional opinion. I would say, you know, personally, I would vote no.
Thank you, Andrew. Any other any further comments? Again, I think again, having been involved in a renovation that was very costly, the Horace Mann project, I understand what Andrew's talking about. But I also think that if we, at some point, we're going to need to do that anyway for that building, if Ryan stays there in any way, shape, or form, we're still going to have to deal with code issues. And I think as we move forward in the building or constructing project, when you do, you know, that part of that building is going to be part of this project in one way, shape, or form, and we're going to have to deal with those code issues at some point. Knowing what they might be ahead of time, I think might be helpful from my point of view. Anybody else? Kevin?
Yeah, I understand how this is tied to the Parmenter site as far as the building committee and selecting a site, rather than, you know, can it be done more so as like a recommendation?
This is a recommendation to the council, and then the council will discuss it and decide whether to move forward with it or not. And you can make that, you know, obviously part of your discussion tomorrow night. But this at least puts that dollar number in there, on their plate, which is where eventually it would need to be. Everybody understands that this is just a recommendation to the council, and they will make the final decision on whether to go forward with the code review or not. Okay, seeing no further discussion, the vote will come on the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, next steps for the committee, and again, Jamie, I think you alluded to it early on. Kevin's got a presentation tomorrow night to the council, and I think there's really not a whole lot more for us to do as a building committee until we get some direction back from the town council.
You guys don't want to come in front of the council?
Could I think at some point? Yeah.
At some point,
I agree.
Sure.
You should.
At some point, you guys.
It's a good idea. From the council.
Be happy to.
Yeah.
So, okay. I think then We will advise on our next meeting date once we get a little more direction from the council. So is there anything that you guys would like to bring up? Joe?
No, I think we're good.
We're all set.
Any committee members, any questions or anything? Okay, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Non-debatable. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, one and all.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.